You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we are beginning a very short 3-week series on the book of Hebrews, so we're not going to cover too much of it, but a little bit. We're going to focus especially on chapters 11 and 12 the next 3 weeks, and then 4 weeks from now, pick up on chapter 13. However, though, before we jump into chapter 11, what is going on in Hebrews in chapters 1 through 10? I thought when I attended Harold's lectionary class last Thursday, I thought he had a nice little summary about chapters 1 through 10. Basically, he told us that in chapters 1 and 2, they display Christ as Son of God and Son of Man. In chapters 3 and 4, they warn of the dangers of unbelief. And then in chapters 5 through 10, they explore the power of Christ's priesthood in who he is and what he did to take away our sins. Now, as we jump into chapter 11, we focus on the topic of faith. First of all, what it is, and then what it does. Coming to faith, what it is, we begin chapter 11 with these words. The Bible says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." You're probably familiar with that. That's really the definition of faith. But what does that mean, though? The things hoped for are talking about God's yet-to-be-fulfilled promises. For example, Jesus' return, living with God forever in his presence, these are promises that he has made, not yet fulfilled. Faith is being sure that because God has said them, because God has promised them, they will eventually come to pass. And then it goes on in Hebrews 11 and says, "For by faith the people of old received their commendation." In other words, they received their approval. So what we have going on here in this chapter and following, we have various examples of people who lived by faith. In other words, God gave them the gift of faith to trust in the coming Messiah and also in the other promises of God. And then those people lived by that faith, and then, in a number of cases, those things are recorded right here in the Bible so we can be encouraged. We can be like, oh, that was a really tough situation. However, though, they stepped out in faith, they believed what seemed to be impossible, and God blessed them. So we're going to look at some of those today. So we come to the second part of the sermon already. So we come to faith, what it does. So we're going to see in these different situations, we're going to see what it does, for example, in this next part, by faith we understand. In the next part after that, by faith Abel offered. In the next part after that, by faith Enoch pleased God. In the next part after that, by faith Noah constructed an ark. So there's always, in other words, a person or persons who are mentioned, and then they took some kind of an action based on their faith. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're getting to now. So in verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible," the Bible tells us. We live in a world today where many people are embracing the foolish guesswork of evolutionists. However, though, those who have faith, what do they know? What do we know? We know that God created everything out of nothing. Doesn't that seem so impossible? When we think about a piece of paper, it's made from a tree. In other words, everything is made from something. But yet the Bible teaches that God created out of nothing. That's a huge step of faith, but yet God has given us faith to believe that very thing. So we believe he created out of nothing, and we believe that he sustains the entire universe by his almighty power. So he made it, and still today he is sustaining it. Going on then, we come to the topic of Cain and Abel. So it tells us in verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. What was going on there? Both Cain and Abel, they offered a sacrifice to God, but Abel's sacrifice was accepted because of his faith. So he had God-given faith in the coming Messiah, and on the basis of his faith, or we could say from his faith, he offered the sacrifice. For Cain, he went through the motions, he offered the sacrifice, but he didn't have the faith, so it didn't come from the faith, and therefore it was not acceptable to God. He wants us to understand that faith is important. When you drop something in the offering plate, if you do, you shouldn't do it because you feel like you have to. You should do it because of your faith. You know that it's right to honor God with what he's given to you, and you know that he's going to provide whatever you need. And then we go on to Enoch. So the Bible says here in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him up. Now before he was taken, he was commended, in other words, he was approved as having pleased God. So again, a similar situation. By God's grace, Enoch believed in the promised Messiah, and from that faith that God had given him, he believed all of the words of God, and then what did he do? He lived according to that word, and God decided to do something very special here. God said, because Enoch is so faithful to me, so faithful in living according to my word, I'm not going to let him have to experience death, but rather, I'm going to take him out of the sinful world even before he dies. A very unique and special thing. Why did Enoch live in that way? Going to right to the next verse here, think about what the Bible says. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That's Enoch. What was he doing? He was believing that God will reward him as he lives according to his faith. So he did. And what reward did God give to him? He took him out of the world without having to experience death. What a wonderful thing. Is God doing that for many people? He's not, but God can bless in all kinds of different ways. He can bless in this life, and he can certainly bless in the life to come. We know in the life to come for sure, many, many, many blessings. Sometimes not here, but even here though, simply knowing that we have the forgiveness of our sins, knowing that we have eternal life, knowing that God will provide all of our needs, those are pretty great blessings, and every believer has those blessings. And then we come to Noah. So the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So again, with Noah, he had God-given and God-sustained faith. What did God do? God warned Noah that in many years to come, I'm going to flood the entire world. So God gave him that warning, and he told him, build an ark. Now, we don't know exactly how long it took. I have a footnote in here on my sermon. If you take a look at it online, you can go to an article that talks about the details of that. But anyway, though, it was at least decades it took him to build the ark. Now, think about it. Imagine if I decided on my own, because God told me, I'm going to do a building project right out here in our front yard. And from all the way at the woods, all the way to the edge of our driveway, I'm going to begin to build an ark. And I'm going to be working on it for about, let's say, about 40 years. And God's going to sustain my life and my strength during that time. And people are going to go by and think, look at that nut. Look at what he's doing in the front yard there. We've never known water to be here on State Road in this location, and yet he's spending all of his time building this boat. It's like so crazy. Can you imagine what Noah experienced for all that time, all the ridicule, and yet during that time, he was proclaiming the word of God, telling them, God told me to do this. The floodwaters are coming. God is calling us to believe in him and know that his word is true. And yet the more he said that, the more they probably thought he was a nutcase. And yet he continued and continued and continued. And what happened? Well, eventually God sent the water and only Noah and his family survived. So as he went through a lot of ridicule back then, even for us today, believing in Jesus Christ, going to church, living by faith, these are things that the world probably mocks us for, but yet he wants us to know that in the end, when Christ comes, just like when the flood came, when Christ comes, then finally people will see that God was being truthful, that God's word did not fail. Right now, though, we're living by faith. And then the Bible goes on and we come to a section here on Abraham and also on Sarah. So picking up in verse 8, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Even though it didn't make sense, when God called Abraham to go, he went. Amazingly, he went, not knowing where he was going. What a crazy thing. That is living by faith, doing things that don't make sense, and yet we're following the word of God, living by faith. For Abraham, he left his father's house, and possibly his father being very wealthy and having much, he left his father's house, and now he's living in tents. And later, his son and his grandsons, they're also living in tents for a long time. All of them believed God, and yet they didn't even see the fulfillment of the promises in their own lifetime. They didn't actually live in the promised land as their own land, but they still believed that it was coming eventually. And God provided for them nonetheless. And then they also believed that they would be taken to be with God forever. So they lived by faith. They never even saw the fulfillment, and yet they continued to live by faith. What about us? Are we sometimes like saying, okay, God, I'm going to believe this for like 6 months, and if you don't come through, then I'm giving up. Is that how he wants us to be? No, he wants us to stick with it no matter what, knowing that God has his own timetable, and God will do what he promised he will do when the time is right, or we might say in the fullness of time, just like sending Christ. And then going on to Sarah, picking up in verse 11, the Bible says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, that would be from Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. So in Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham that he would have many descendants. Now keep in mind, Abraham is already an older man at that time, and then 24 years pass by, and he has no son with Sarah. Now we're at a point where Abraham is 99, and Sarah is 89, and yet they still have no son. Even though most would have long given up, by God's grace, Sarah believed. Even though she laughed, she also, by God's grace, she believed, and God granted her that son at the age of 90 years old. I want to read a few verses here from Romans chapter 4, where Paul writes about Abraham and about his faith. He wrote, in hope against hope, Abraham believed in order that he might become a father of many nations. And without becoming weak in faith, He contemplated his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Do you have any friends who are in their 90s who are having children? Probably not. Yet, Paul goes on, yet, with respect to the promise of God, Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Isn't it just so amazing that God makes these huge promises, they seem impossible, and Abraham, he did not give up. But he knew that God would do what he had promised to do. We're going to come back to Abraham again next week, and it's almost even more remarkable what happens with the faith of Abraham, how he takes this action. So please come back and find out about that. And then the Bible goes on in 13, many of the descendants of Abraham died in faith, not having received the things promised. So for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on, they didn't receive the things promised. They weren't living in the land of promise, in the land of Canaan as their own, which points to heaven. They didn't yet see the promised Messiah that was coming. But the Bible says, having seen them and greeted them from afar. What does that mean? They saw them with the eyes of faith, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. We might say an eternal homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, in other words, the place where Abraham was from, where his father lived, they would have the opportunity to return, the Bible says. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. In other words, as Abraham and his descendants lived, they were trusting in the promises that God had made, and some of those promises applied to this life, but the most important of the promises applied to eternal life. So the ones for this life, they didn't see the fulfillment, but God did eventually grant it to later generations. When it came to the ones regarding eternal life, God did give them those promises. I want to close with this one verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's one that really ties in with the attitude God wants us to have regarding faith. So it says here, "We do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For what we see lasts only a while, but what we do not see lasts forever." So all the things that we can see with our physical eyes, these are all temporary things, and it takes no faith to believe them. Oh, there's a pew right there. I don't believe that by faith. I believe it by sight. I can see it. But all these other things, though, that we believe by faith, we haven't seen them yet. But God is saying, they are true, they will happen. And just as I've given you a number of examples in the Bible about huge promises that God made, for example, I'm going to flood the entire world, and then he did, God wants us to know that no matter how big the promises are, he's going to keep them. He's going to keep them according to his timetable, and he's calling us to believe them no matter what. So let's know that faith is believing what we cannot see, and then let's act upon it. And finally, coming to the quote by Luther that we have here, Luther said that faith is a living, busy, active, mighty thing. It's not some kind of a stagnant thing, but when we have that connection to God our Father and to Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, then what faith does is that faith is able to understand what the Bible says, and faith has the power and the desire then, according to our new nature, in order to walk by faith. May God help us in such things. Our challenge today is to take a look at the Bible and know that whatever God has said, that is best, and he's calling us to follow it according to our faith. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, We pray that you would so work in us that you would keep us believing in Jesus and keep us taking action according to our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.